You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into this Analytics Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day. No matter how you watch this season, this stunning Sunday loss to the Philadelphia Eagles does not define the Saints' season so far, but how they respond will, and Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through any game day and become the member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Are you still struggling with the Saints' loss to the Philadelphia Eagles? Well, you have come to the right place as we turn to the numbers for more context on today's Analytics Tuesday. But first, head coach Sean Payton talked about Drew Brees' return on NFL Network's Huddle and Flow podcast, what he had to say about the future Hall of Famer's recovery and timeline. Then, what if I told you we had some coaching analytics? Well, thanks to our friends over at EDJ Sports, who ranked two decisions from Coach Payton the best and worst decisions of Week 14. We'll talk about those, which ones they were, and how they affected the team's win chances. And then we'll wrap up with an in-depth look at the trenches and how their performances cost the Saints a W in Philly. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL show. We got all that and a little bit of Lanyap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. New Orleans Saints head coach Sean Payton visits the Huddle and Flow podcast with NFL Network and updates a little bit on Drew Brees' condition and timeline. That's our New Orleans Saints lead story today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. Coach Payton visited with Jim Trotter and Steve Wyche over on their podcast, speaking on several different topics, including the Saints' loss to the Philadelphia Eagles on Sunday, their current quarterback situation, and their upcoming quarterback situation as the team awaits the return of injured future Hall of Famer Drew Brees. And in the midst of talking about all of these topics, when they were asked about his return, about whether or not it's going to be right around the corner, should Week 15 be the target return time as the point to where he would return to take on the Kansas City Chiefs, he said, "I don't know. I haven't talked to the doctors yet. This would be a goal week for him realistically." And yet last week, he was still having significant pain. So there have been a lot of reports coming out via Adam Schefter and other sources that the Saints don't intend to have Drew Brees back until he was 100% well and 100% healed. If he's still feeling significant pain, that's probably not a good sign at this time. But is the week long enough, in terms of that being last week, is this week long enough to give him a moment to where he has that full range of motion, to where he is 100% healed, and he's not feeling that significant pain? It's interesting that Coach Payton said that this was a goal week for him. We heard back at the beginning of that injury, right after the San Francisco 49ers game, that 2 to 3 weeks was the optimistic goal, but 4 to 5 weeks was more realistic. We're now coming up on the 5th week after Taysom Hill has now started for Drew Brees over the last 4. Could there be the potential of Drew Brees returning? I'm still very much of the camp that there's no need to rush Drew Brees back. If he's not 100%, don't put him out on the field. You need him in the playoffs. You need him for games that aren't scheduled yet. So don't worry about trying to rush him back. Continue to utilize this time as evaluation time for Taysom Hill, maybe Jameis Winston, if you want to give him some reps at some point throughout all of this, which I still advocate for just in terms of getting a look at the guy. But if you have an opportunity to bring him back when he's fully healthy, fully healed, and ready to be back with a full range of motion, no pain, and can get the ball down the field, then all of that and all of those signs should point to a return for Drew Brees that is at least soon. Something to consider, however, if he were to return to take on the Kansas City Chiefs on the 20th this Sunday, he would have to turn around and play 5 days later against the Minnesota Vikings on Friday on Christmas Day. That is a tough turnaround for somebody that's coming off of a significant injury like 11 rib fractures and a collapsed lung. So obviously the Saints will continue to play it safe and continue to make the right choices when it comes to Drew Brees. They have a lot riding on the health of Drew Brees, particularly when they get into the postseason. This is a team that has already clinched their playoff spot. They're going to be playing in January one way or another, and they're going to want to be at full power whenever that happens. Very hard to do that if you continue to miss your quarterback, your starting future Hall of Fame quarterback that you're intent on winning a second Super Bowl for before he retires. If you lose him for extended time due to furthering an injury that was already pretty serious to begin with. Without a doubt, Breeze Watch is underway. The next step that you're waiting for from him is him to come off of injured reserve and be activated from injured reserve, starting his practice window so that he has 3 weeks to work his way back to the active roster. That should signify the next step for Drew Brees in terms of getting back into practice and getting started. So we'll keep an eye out and see if that begins to happen this week. If you want to hear the rest of the interview with Sean Payton, which had some really great nuggets, it actually drops on Tuesday. I would have used the clip from it, but obviously I'm recording this Monday night. So go and check it out after you've listened to this to hear what Sean Payton had to say about the wins. I'm sure we'll be talking about it all throughout the week here as well. Now, Coach Payton, we're hearing some quotes on him about Drew Brees, but we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about him. We've actually got some coaching analytics thanks to EDJ Sports, who ranks some of the best and worst coaching decisions, particularly going for it on fourth down or not going for it on fourth down, and how it affects a team's win chances. So really, really cool stuff here in just a moment. But first, when it comes down to a good decision or a bad decision, I know I made the right decision a while back. Maybe you're looking to make the right decision as well. And I want to let you know that this episode is brought to you by 10:10. Now, you've probably read about this in New York Times or Forbes. We're really excited to tell you about it because 10:10 is the exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring, launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. And when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 10:10, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're making 2021 plans or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you are definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th, and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. All right, Houdat Nation, it is Locked On Saints with your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA, back again for our Analytics Tuesday. Don't forget that tomorrow is going to be our Film Friday. We're going to put a heavy focus into film on this one because it's just so fun to break it down and take a look at where this team can get even better moving forward. So I'm really, really excited for our Film Watch Wednesday. We'll break down three impactful plays together, but we'll also have an additional segment just covering impact plays and moments and things that I saw on film after our film study, after I have some time to sit through it. And then, of course, we'll also have our mailbag on that day as well. So think about your questions for the Locked On Saints Facebook group and beyond. You can also submit your questions to me directly via DM at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter as well. Also, real big thank you to everybody that's been helping out over on iTunes with the reviews. We jumped from 232 reviews to 241 reviews over the weekend. You guys are incredible. So thank you for those 5 stars. That really, really helps the show. And I appreciate it. I'll make sure that you all get your shout outs here throughout the week as well. But real quick, I want to get to this first part of our Analytics Tuesday segment. This is something new that I'm going to try out and see if y'all like it. So please send me the feedback. Let me know if you like this because I can totally update this anytime that we see Sean Payton's name here. But EDJ Sports, which is kind of under the same umbrella as Football Outsiders, our good friends over there, where we get all of our DVOA statistics and everything, which we'll talk about more of here in just a little moment. But one of the things that they do over at EDJ is that they break down the top 5 best coaching decisions and the top 5 worst coaching decisions every week. And for week 15, Saints head coach Sean Payton was awarded the best coaching decision, number one, and the worst coaching decision, number one least, I guess you could say, there. So it's kind of a top 5, bottom 5 situation. And basically what they do is that they grade these based upon the change in game-winning chance or game-winning percentage, a change in that percentage. So let's start off with the best coaching decision. And both of these are going to be fourth down calls. Most all of these are fourth down calls, but this was going to be the 4th-and-2 call on the Philadelphia 42, which led to the sack and fumble for Taysom Hill. Now, remember, this isn't about the play call. It's not about the play design. It's not about anything like that. It's just about the decision to go for it or not to go for it. That's the decision. So this was a fourth down go call. According to their metrics for the Saints, the simple act of choosing to go for it on that 4th-and-2 as opposed to punting it is a difference of 10.5%, 10.5%, a 52.4% chance to win the game by going for it, a 41.9% chance had they chosen to punt instead. So that is a 10% swing just in terms of choosing to go for it. Now, had they converted it, they would have actually boosted all the way up to a 58.5% chance to actually to win the game. So their game win chance would have boosted up to almost 17% just by choosing to go for it on that fourth down and by converting it. Just the choice alone, a 10.5% boost. That's a really good call by Sean Payton. The play call itself was a bit of a problem, don't get me wrong, but had they had the opposite result from either converting it, then you would have seen a dramatic shift in favor of winning the game. Had you seen the opposite result in terms of them choosing to punt it, you would have seen a dramatic shift in terms of them losing the game. So good choice by head coach Sean Payton here. He gets the number one of the he gets the number one spot of the five best coaching decisions of the week by EDJ Sports. Now, on the other hand, the top five worst coaching decisions of the week, also number one, Sean Payton, with a minus 6% game win chance with this decision, which came on a fourth and one on the New Orleans 48. In this game, they were down 10-0. They chose to punt on fourth and one on their own 48 as opposed to going for it. This was 2 minutes and 24 seconds left in the second quarter, right? So this ended up paving the way for them to actually go down 17-0 because they gave up that extra possession. So you look at what the actual game win chance was after the punt, 30.2% chance to win that game after they chose to punt, but it was a 6% swing and a 6% deficit from what it would have been had they gone with the optimal play, which according to the analytics would have been to run on fourth and one, which would have boosted them to an optimal GWC or game win chance of 36.2%. So Sean Payton in this game making one of the best calls or the absolute best call in the NFL in terms of game win chance on the fourth and two, making the worst call on the fourth and one. So you see some variance there for Sean Payton and his game managing decisions in this one. And certainly some of those had to do with comfort with the defense, unexpected to give up an 82-yard run on that next possession, things like that. But that's the way, like we said, it takes one play, one decision, one missed gap, one big run to set everything back. And, you know, I mentioned variance, and this is something I wanted to talk about too. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, to keep it within the family here, I saw him tweet out earlier that the number one team in the NFL right now in terms of DVOA is now the Kansas City Chiefs. The Saints dropped to number two from being number one last week. But there's something and a word that I mentioned earlier in terms of the variance, right? And I've talked about variance a lot because it's something I'm getting really interested in. Variance essentially measures the highs and lows. If you have a lot of variance, then you have a lot of variables, you have a lot of change, right? If you don't have a lot of variables, then or you don't have a high variance, then you are consistent across the board. The Saints, interestingly enough, though being one of the top teams in DVOA, have consistently been one of the worst teams when it comes to variance, as in having too much variation and being inconsistent. Now, this makes perfect sense, right? You saw the Saints open up strong against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but then you saw faltering performances weeks 2 and 3 against the Las Vegas Raiders and the Green Bay Packers. Then you saw them kind of struggle a little bit in some of their other wins. You saw them go down a bunch or down two touchdowns against the Detroit Lions and then claw their way back. You saw the same situation go on with the Los Angeles Chargers. Then you saw them start to right the ship after the bye week, but then Drew Brees got hurt. And then things have kind of been all over the place a bit with Taysom Hill, particularly over these last couple of games. And so, yeah, the variance is a little bit more stark than you would like to see. This is a team that you want to see get more consistent. And so the model of consistency for this New Orleans Saints team has always been set by their future Hall of Famer and signal caller, Drew Brees. And so I think that that's another thing. We talked a little bit yesterday about the things that you can look forward to, the positives that you can still take about how a loss to the Philadelphia Eagles, sometimes I forget syllables, but the Philadelphia Eagles doesn't really define them for the rest of the season. This is a good example as to why that inconsistency over the season may actually be something that's good news for them because of what it's sparked by and what helps to shift them into a place of consistency, which is having a guy like Drew Brees back under center, particularly over on the offensive side. And this defense is going to look to gather its consistency back that we've seen over the past six games up until you got to the Sunday game against the Philadelphia Eagles. So consistency being something you want to see this team really improve upon moving forward. And one of the other things you're definitely going to want to see this team improve upon is their performance in the trenches after Sunday. Surely, again, it's more of an anomaly, but we should break it down. We should take a look at it. We're going to look at pressures, pressure percentage as well for both the offensive and defensive line, as well as some more of the run statistics for the Saints run defense, which put forth a large contribution to the loss on Sunday in Philadelphia. So we got that coming up for you here in just a moment on today's episode of Locked On Saints. It's Analytics Tuesday here with the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And if you're trying to figure out a way to get consistent and you want to go ahead and knock down your walls, there's one great way to do it. And it's with our friends over at Built Go. It is an energy gel that's mixed with a collagen protein. Collagen protein is great because it's naturally sourced, super light, super easy on the stomach, processes smooth, processes quickly and fast. It's like a 5-hour energy drink, but without the same type of crash feeling, and it's all natural. So it's just much better for your body. Think about drinking a monster energy drink with a third of the caffeine, but much better results all around. Three delicious flavors as well: peanut butter, honey, chocolate, coconut, chocolate mint. And you know our friends over at Built Bar never miss when it comes to flavor. They've also got this powered with all the things that you need to ignite your work, like beta-alanine, B3 honey, kick of caffeine, B6, B12, over 10,000% of your daily percentage when it comes to those B vitamins to help get you ready and keep you going strong. And of course, that collagen protein helps with joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. So it literally makes you look better as well. So to check it out, visit buildgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED. And you're going to get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at buildgo.com. Let's go. If you've listened to Locked On Saints long enough, then you know that I am also a New Orleans Pelicans fan to my core, and I love the work that our good friend Jake Madison does over at Locked On Pelicans. But it's not limited to Jake. We have a fantastic NBA network as a whole. And now that that wait is over and the 2020-21 NBA season is almost here, that Locked On NBA podcast is going to be getting you ready with a special week of shows that began yesterday. So you're already a day behind. If you haven't started, go listen and get caught up. Get previews for every team, division by division, from all 30 of our Locked On local experts over in the NBA, plus waiver wire additions from Locked On Fantasy Basketball, rookies to watch from Chad Ford, and predictions of each division from Rejecting the Screen. Subscribe to Locked On NBA wherever you get your podcast. Now, you know that one of the big things that I harped on yesterday, even though, again, I think that this doesn't somehow re-illustrate what the New Orleans Saints are by any means, but I harped on the fact that the Saints struggled in the trenches, and I harped on it before the game even came around. I talked about how one of the biggest things that this team was going to have trouble with and that would lead to them losing the game is if they lost in the trenches, and this was an example where they absolutely did. You can look at the key stats, right? They gave up 5 hits, they gave up 5 sacks, particularly over on the offensive side, although we do have to talk offense and defense, honestly, but we'll start on the offensive side. But they gave up 5 sacks, 5 additional hits as well. If you take a look at Taysom Hill having to pass against the pressure, which is something we can look at over at Pro Football Focus, when he wasn't pressured on 28 dropbacks, he was able to throw the ball 28 times, completed 23 of those passes, it's an 82.1% completion percentage, 240 of his 291 yards, both of his touchdowns, a 78.2 offensive rating, 76.6 passer rating, and a 77.0 fumble rating because he wasn't getting hit because he was never pressured during those. And he also, something to keep in mind, 23 of 28 completions, 2 of those were dropped. So 126.2 passer rating. When Taysom Hill was kept clean, he was outstanding in this game. But unfortunately, he was pressured on 18 of his dropbacks. Like I said yesterday, it felt like he was pressured on nearly 50% of his dropbacks. There are the numbers for you right there. Difference of 10 dropbacks in terms of how often he was pressured versus how often he wasn't. Now, you saw how efficient he was when he wasn't pressured, when he was kept clean. Now you have to look at how inefficient he was when he was under pressure. Out of those 18 dropbacks, he only got the ball off 10 times because he was sacked on 5, and he also scrambled away 3 times. But one of the things you have to look at is those 10 attempts, he only completed 50% of those. He completed 5 of them for 51 yards, and then he threw the interception as well on the bullet of a screen pass. So this was something that, oh, and of course, a 25.4 passer rating in that. Now, he finished the game with a 102 passer rating, but again, you can see the difference in productivity between when he was kept clean versus when he wasn't. And when you have a team and an offensive line that's giving up pressure at a 39.1% clip, 18 of 46 plays, it's tough. I mean, that's a humongous percentage to give up. Just to look at that from the opposite side, you look at the Saints, who only got pressure on Jalen Hurts 9 times on 34 snaps. I'm going to do some very quick math, and that'll show you that that was only a 26% pressure rate over that game. And that's still pretty healthy, don't get me wrong, but you have to look at how the two of them performed despite that. So when it comes to the Saints defensive line, they didn't get pressure on him 25 times, and he only threw 24 attempts, completed only 15 of those, so a 62.5 completion percentage and a 141 yard total. So not really fantastic for Jalen Hurts there. He had a 38.5 overall offensive rating when he wasn't feeling pressure. However, he had a 78.7% offensive rating when he did feel pressure. And this is something very interesting because he only threw for 33% completion percentage, completing only 2 of 6 passes when under pressure. The passing game was not that much of an issue for the Saints. There was the one touchdown that he threw where he felt that pressure. That was Quan Alexander right in his face. It was on the 4th-and-2 touchdown drive in the first half. Yeah, in the first half, the first touchdown that they scored. So that's one of the reasons why his grade is so high. But when you look at the actual productivity in terms of him being able to put points on the board, the Saints gave him a lot of trouble by putting pressure on him. And we knew that the Saints weren't going to get a lot of sacks in this game, but we knew that it was important for them to get pressure and force him outside the pocket. That's where he wants to throw the ball. He doesn't want to throw the ball on the run. He doesn't want to be hit while he's throwing. He doesn't want to be that guy. He wants to stand in the pocket and throw, or if he gets outside the pocket, he wants to run. Forcing him to make and commit to that style of play was a key going into this game, but unfortunately for the Saints, they struggled against the run as well. Had they been able to allow 106 yards rushing to Jalen Hurts without allowing 115 and an 82-yard run by Miles Sanders, then maybe we'd be talking about this game much differently. If we look at EPA, which assigns that numerical value of points per successful play or unsuccessful play, you get negative points. In terms of the average across the board, despite totaling 246 rushing yards on the day, the Eagles had an EPA per play of minus 0.09, which was 0.04 points worse than the New Orleans Saints at 0.05, negative 0.05. So you have to look at it in the context of the entire game. Now, what was the big difference? The Eagles were very successful in the early run game, first and second downs, an EPA there of a positive 0.17. So that's a difference in terms of the early run game and then the general run game or all of it totaled together of a quarter of a point per play. That's a humongous difference. And so the early run game really set it up for the Eagles. The late run game on third and fourth downs, which led to a couple of turnovers on downs as well. So we have to keep that into perspective in terms of weighting heavily against the successful play count, quote unquote. That ended up being a negative 0.12, which was a terrible mark for them there. So you have to consider some of these different elements when talking about the analytics and trying to put all of it together to contextualize this loss. And the big thing is that when you look at the run game and where the Saints struggled, this just furthers what we discussed yesterday in the show about how that big 82-yard run really set up the day for what we're talking about right now. Without that 82-yard run, we're having an entirely different conversation. And as we talked about in the last segment, perhaps Sean Payton not making the worst coaching decision of the week, according to EDJ Sports, of not going for it and choosing the punt on that 4th-and-1 that gave them the possession, the Philadelphia Eagles, that led to that 82-yard touchdown, may be the place to start and the catalyst for what could have led to the breakdown in this game, particularly in the first half. So a lot of pieces to put together, a lot of information to continue to roll with as we continue to try to contextualize this loss. I think that this is becoming a lot more clear as something that is really a flash in the pan, a problem that took place that I think the Saints will be able to address and not be defined by as they continue to move on through this season. We'll continue to contextualize it and look at it through multiple different ways. Next up is the film. We'll get to that in tomorrow's Film Watch Wednesday, and I hope that you'll be there with me for our next episode of Locked On Saints. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. This has been Locked On Saints, and trust Who Dat Nation. I'll holla at you.